Look to the rock from which you were cut, and the quarry from which you were hewn. Let us pray. Lord, speak to us now in the words that come from my lips and in the thoughts they help us form. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Amen. This is the last sermon I will preach to you as your locum. It is also the first sermon preached in this church in the year 2015. In this sermon, I want to leave you with a message for the year that lies ahead. Listen to Peter's great profession of faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wonderful. And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never overcome it." These words have resounded throughout the course of history. And it might surprise you to learn that these verses are among the most studied, the most debated, the most disputed verses in the whole of the New Testament. These words give all Christian churches the arguments for their form of government. On them rests the whole argument for the episcopacy and for the papacy. And as part of the Reformed Protestant Church, we reject these arguments and we have our Presbyterian system of government. In my preaching over the past year, I have tried to emphasize that because of this tradition, we, you and I, are like Peter. Christ builds his church on us, on you and on me. Ordinary people like us, Christ builds his church. But this gives us responsibilities. The Church of Jesus Christ is going through a difficult time in its history, not just here in Carluke, not just in Scotland, but throughout many parts of the world. Church membership is in steep decline. People who profess Christ to be Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, are becoming fewer and fewer. So what does this passage from Matthew's Gospel tell us about how we should view our own faith and belief in today's society? Peter becomes the first person to make the great Christian confession of faith. You are the Christ. He names Jesus as the Messiah, the hope of Israel, the Son of the one who created the heavens and the earth. Before Peter speaks these words, the Gospels tell us that the devil knew who Jesus was, and of course God knew who he was. But now at last, the ordinary people are beginning to realize just who this man Jesus actually is. Something new is happening. Something new is slowly, slowly being built. And all this is happening because of the will of God and the power of God. Peter makes this great profession of faith. And look what immediately happens. Simon speaks and he is given a new name. And I tell you that you are Peter. Peter really is a new name. There is absolutely no record of anyone using Petros, the Greek word meaning rock, or Cephas, the same word in Aramaic, as a proper name before this event. Peter was the first, the original Rocky, despite films that might tell you something different. Peter is the first to bear the name Rock. I don't know if you've ever given any thought to the importance of names in the Bible. Adam is given the task of naming all of God's animals. In the Old Testament, we are often told the meaning of people's names. And this is because for the Hebrews, names and meaning were very important. A name was the summary of the existence of the thing being named. To change a person's name, just as God changed Abram to Abraham and Jacob to Israel, this was to alter fundamentally that person's identity, to alter their relationships, to alter their whole mission in life. To give a person his or her name was in some fundamental way to shape their destiny. And in many ways, it still works this way today. To confess Jesus as the Christ is to be changed. When we do this, Jesus gives each one of us a new name. We are given a clear identity and a clear mission. We are put into a new relationship with him. This is seen clearly with Peter, and it continues to be true for all of us here today. Part of our name, part of our identity that we receive from God is the same as Peter's. He is Rocky One, the first rock of the edifice that the Lord is building. It is not Peter who builds, it is God. And this structure that God is building is the church. Peter is the first stone of a building that continues to grow. The first called for the new Israel, the first named for a great task. On Peter and on the other apostles, on their faith and on their person, Christ builds his church. And he continues to build it today. We are, in this respect, like film sequels. You are Rocky 5 billion, or whatever it is. It's the same director, it's the same plot, but just with a much, much larger cast. And we continue to be called into service. We are all called to follow in Peter's footsteps. Through us, by us, Christ continues to build his church. Through us, through you and through me, Christ continues to be present in his world. This church that the Lord called into being with Peter and that we are all part of is a holy and a sacred thing. We might not always see it like this. We see it with all our human failings. But it is not merely some kind of voluntary association of like-minded people. That is not the church. It is not primarily a human institution at all. The church is a divine mystery. The church is a holy thing, something much greater than anything we can see or even imagine. You might think that the church today is failing. It's had its day. But in reality, the Church of Jesus Christ is strong. After all, it is stronger than death itself. It is vast. It's vast in space and in time. It is built on living stones. And these stones are laid on top of each other. They touch so that the building is a single structure that continues through space and through time. And this continuity is a continuity of Christ's presence, a continuity of faith, a continuity of tradition and of doctrine. And it's a continuity of people, individuals, each connected to those who have gone before. In the Nicene Creed, we say that we believe in one holy and apostolic church. This continuity of doctrine, faith, and persons is the apostolic part. We are all connected back through history to Peter. As people of faith, we are connected to the foundations of Christ's church. We are the building blocks, the rocks laid on top of previous generations. Each new name, each new rock builds on something unbroken and continuous. And Jesus is saying to each one of us here today, you are Peter, and on you I will build my church. This is something that's quite difficult to grasp, but Herbert O'Driscoll has a wonderful way of helping us imagine what this means. He suggests that we look at the last 2,000 years or so as concentric circles of time. So it's a bit like looking at a cross-section of an old tree trunk. We are at the very outermost circle. We are furthest away from the centre. And at this centre is the cross. We are brought into the circle by our faith. In a large part, we are brought to faith because someone in the circle before ours took us by the hand and said, come, and they drew us in. It's a lovely way of thinking about it, isn't it? But that person was only able to do this for us because someone from a previous generation had taken him or her by the hand and drawn them in. And so it goes on through the centuries. Hands are held through all of these circles until we reach the place where a very few hands were held by hands that touched the marks of nails. So in a very real sense, we hold hands that were nailed to a tree. And this is the way that Christ builds his church. This is the gift, the great gift that each one of us has been given. What Christ is stressing in his words to Peter is continuity. The historical and the spiritual reality that the church Jesus is creating is his and is his alone. Christ's church can be built on no other foundations with no other living stones than those that he names, and with no other cornerstone and no other chief builder than Christ himself. Jesus is saying to us here today, you too are Peter. You too are a rock, and with you I am building my church. The prophet Isaiah tells us, look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. We must look to our history to see where we come from. But then we must also look to the future and see where we are going. Peter was given a new name. Because of our faith, we too are given a new name, and this name will always include being named as a servant, someone who gives and in giving becomes a gift to the world in the name of Jesus Christ. To be chosen, to be called, to be named as part of the glorious company of Christ's church is to become another rock. And this is not a sign of privilege. It's a mark of service. So we are named. We are named Rock. We are part of Christ's church here in this, our community. We are named as servants, gifts to that community, gifts to the world. And in this way, we are named as Christ's own forever. However, we need to take our responsibilities seriously. And this is my parting message to you. Are you encouraging others to join this great circle of faith? Are you holding out your hands to others and saying, come? Remember, if you don't do this, if you won't do this, where will God find his building blocks for the future? Amen.